RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
By the way, when I'm on this show, I love to talk space flight, and I'm always pleased when we can get Stephen Clark from Ars Technica to join us. Stephen, good to visit with you. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Steve.
Yeah, so much going on. And in our recent visits, we've spent a lot of time visiting about China because there is this budding rivalry, if you will. I think anybody who's followed space flight over the years knows that the Cold War fueled ultimately Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin being able to walk on the moon in July of 1969. And that rivalry fueled the space race, if you will, in the 60s. And now we have a new space race, and it's clearly the United States and China right now, and they're doing a lot, and reusability is now part of their space flight vocabulary.
Yes, Steve, you're exactly right, and you set that up pretty well. And so I'll take it from here and just say that reusable rockets have revolutionized the way we access space here in the United States, with SpaceX primarily, being the pioneer in landing rockets on barges, on ships at sea, and then returning them to port, relaunching them over and over again, over 30 times now for some of their vehicles in their inventory. And that has enabled, a vast explosion in terms of the number of launches that the United States conducts per year. So 10, 15 years ago, the United States maybe averaged one launch a month. And now the U.S. is averaging three, four launches a week, mainly, again, thanks to SpaceX and their reusable rockets. They don't have to build a new rocket every time. They have a fleet. They can turn around and refly and fly again. Well, China is now finally, 10 years since SpaceX landed their first rocket, China is starting to do some really serious experiments with attempting to land their own boosters and their own rockets and eventually reuse them. And when that happens, I think it's inevitable. China will have the ability to rapidly expand their own access to space, to put up big constellations, their own Starlink constellation, for example, and enable all sorts of new applications, both commercial, civil, but also military, which is a big concern for the U.S. military.
Yeah, and the reusability of hardware is now the standard, if you will. I find it hard to believe that you can even be taken seriously if reusability isn't part of the vocabulary. And that's what, going forward, makes the Artemis missions and the Space Launch System almost preposterous in 2025, going into 2026, where you have all this hardware, Artemis 2 coming up. We hope in the first 3 or 4 months of 2026, it'll send astronauts out past the moon and back to Earth, that pretty much all that hardware is disposable.
Exactly. Yeah. The Space Launch System is this behemoth vehicle. NASA spent somewhere north of $25 billion on that program in the last 14 years or so. And it's finally making its second flight, its first flight with astronauts. And as you mentioned, this enormous rocket is entirely expendable. So every piece of it will be either dropped into the Atlantic Ocean, or will burn up as space junk, or will remain in space for millennia to come and won't be recovered or reused. And in fact, as I think you probably know, Steve, but your listeners may or may not know, the Space Launch System uses engines that were used on the space shuttle. They're recycled from the space shuttle days. And when they flew in the space shuttle, they were reusable. These engines were used on multiple shuttle flights, launched, landed, reused. On this mission coming up, Artemis II, they will just be dunked in the ocean and not recovered.
Yeah. And with the new NASA administrator, Jared Isaacman, and that may be a familiar name to those who follow space flight. He was going to be the NASA administrator, then was pulled back. Now he's back in. Is there any change in course, or are we going to continue to march forward at least through Artemis III with the space launch system? I mean, we keep thinking about with Elon Musk and SpaceX and Blue Origin led by Jeff Bezos and other players that eventually this completely disposable system would be set aside at some point.
Yeah, I certainly think the space launch system does have a shelf life. The question, you know, for the last year has been, where do you cut it off? Where do you end the program? And the Trump administration proposed ending it with Artemis III, which will be the next mission after the one that's about to launch in the next couple of months. And but there are powerful supporters for the space launch system in Congress who hold powerful positions, especially in the Senate, who write NASA policy and NASA's budgets. And the big, beautiful bill that the Trump administration backed and got through Congress back in July actually goes back on the Trump administration's own proposal. And Congress wrote into the law, and President Trump signed it, that the space launch system will be around through Artemis V. And that's currently the national policy, is to have the space launch system for, let's see, four more missions at least before it is eventually terminated. I think it will be eventually, and in favor of new commercial rockets like SpaceX's Starship or Blue Origin's New Glenn.
Yeah, and that speaks to how it's been for a long, long time, that NASA, in its wisdom to keep funding, spread this around. It was true in the 60s with Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo, and then beyond that in the build-up to the shuttle years, is that, you know, having these contractors and these jobs spread around the country ensures congressional support to fund this, and that's exactly what's going on. There clearly is a better way, or a better way forward, with reusability being at the core, but right now the votes and the money is on Artemis, and that's what we're going to see. It's just tremendously expensive and seems silly to be throwing away all this hardware.
Yeah, I think the writing is on the wall. I mean, if you talk to Jared Isaacman, I think he would tell you that the space launch system, in fact, I know he would tell you the space launch system is a dead-end program. I may not use those words, but that this is not a program that needs to be kept around longer than it has to be. And, you know, he, in his testimony before the Senate, did acknowledge, and I think he's right, that the space launch system is probably the best, maybe the only bet for NASA, for the U.S. to beat China back to the moon, because we talked about China reusable rockets. Well, China also has a moon program that aims to put their own astronauts on the moon by 2030. And there's great bipartisan interest in the U.S. government to beat China back to the moon, even though NASA did this coming on 60 years ago now. And but the space launch system is probably the only way that that's going to happen before China gets there, is if you incorporate the SLS and the Orion spacecraft into that architecture. And so the question is, you know, it's not sustainable over the long run. So at some point you have to transition off of it onto a more sustainable, lower cost rocket and spacecraft to get the astronauts out to the moon. And where you make that cutoff, where you decide to end the space launch system and start turning to commercial, is really a key question, because you don't want to end the space launch system too soon. Otherwise, you're maybe waiting for a new vehicle that may not be ready. And if you keep it going too late, then it's going to eat into the funding that you may need to build a base on the moon and things like that, and harvest ice on the moon and learn all the things you need to learn on the moon to potentially go on to Mars.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
There's kind of a tug of war because we've heard Elon Musk, the leader of SpaceX, say a number of times, not particularly interested in the moon. Now he has a contract and to build a vehicle to put astronauts on the surface of the moon, but he would prefer all the attention be on Mars. And you and I have discussed this, and I think this is a very important point, that humanity, has been to the moon, and it's been a long time. First in July of 69, last time in the early 70s, when the money and political support ran out, stopped going to the moon. But the idea that you're not going to use the moon as a place to kind of figure out what you need to do and how you're actually going to operate on Mars seems insane to me. That the moon, to me, is a logical step to go there because the transit times between Earth and the moon are reasonable, even with current technology. You could figure out, as you pointed out, to take the ice and create fuel and other things you need to set up a base, because that technology and the know-how will be necessary on Mars. It seems crazy to me you would skip that step.
I think I'm in your camp on that, Steve. The moon is 3 or 4 days away. Mars is 6-9 months away, depending on what year you're going. And I think the moon is a wonderful training ground that we have on our doorstep to be able to learn all the things we need to learn, master all the technologies, harvesting resources, turning them into, as you mentioned, rocket fuel, oxygen, all the things you need to support human life in space. We can learn all that 3 or 4 days away, and if something goes horribly wrong, you have a ticket home in 3 or 4 days instead of having to wait for a planetary alignment that may be a year or more away to come back to Earth. So you're still tethered to the Earth. You're not completely independent as you would be going on to Mars. And there are a lot of things we still need to learn. I talked about some of the technologies there, harvesting resources, but also radiation, how the human body withstands radiation in deep space, which is a much different radiation environment than low Earth orbit where the astronauts are on the International Space Station. That's a big unknown as well. So there's a lot to learn, and I think it makes perfect sense to do it, a 250,000 miles away instead of dozens over 100 million miles away in some cases, as the distance to Mars at some parts of its orbit.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.